Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, my name is Ilana Rea. I am a former lawyer, an occasional lecturer at Columbia, and I'm the founder of ETRA, a mentorship platform for girls. And I'm delighted to be here. Welcome to Sylvia and me.
Ilana, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. You said that you were formerly an attorney and you now are the founder of ETRA. Can you go back to what is your background? What did you used to do and why ETRA?
Sure. So I grew up in a household where my dad was a neurosurgeon and my mom was a journalist and an artist. And she was very sort of socially conscious. And I think from the time I was young, she always instilled in me this need to pay it forward, make a difference. And when I became a lawyer, it was something I was really conscious of. I went to Smith College. I went to the University of Chicago Law School. And then I went directly to a large global law firm named Skadden Arp. And I did mergers and acquisitions. And I absolutely loved it. And I think part of the reason I loved it was I had a tremendous female mentor named Nancy Lieberman, who was actually the youngest partner the firm ever made, male or female. And I just had this unstoppable interest in what was going on in the world, in the law firm, and she really guided my steps. I spent 6 years there and then stepped out of the firm for 6 years to be with my kids when they were small. I had two kids in 20 months. And then when my youngest went to school, I actually went back to the same firm. And instead of only doing mergers and acquisitions, I did something called knowledge strategy. The firm wanted to build internal websites where we could leverage our own data from inside and really do studies of what was market and have curated resources at our fingertips. And I spent the next 10 years doing that. And in 2014, when I retired from the firm, my kids were off to college. I really felt, or going off to college. And I felt like I wanted to pay back the mentors. That encouragement that my mom had given me was sort of sticking in my mind. And I thought there are so many middle school girls who get deterred from the things that are authentic to them. And I had seen that with my own daughter. You mentioned sort of the impetus yet while I was working at the firm and my daughter was in middle school, I felt that she really didn't have a sense of what I was doing every day or what my friends were doing, and they had tremendous jobs.
When you say you didn't think she had a handle, she really knew what you did or what your friends did. Was she curious? Did you ever talk about it? Or was she just a typical teenager who was off doing her own thing? What made you think that she didn't know that much about what you were doing?
Yeah, it's a great question. When she was younger, I used to joke around about the fact that she had gone into school one day and someone said, "What does your mom do?" And she said, "She drives a car and she bakes a lot." And I thought, you know, okay, that or mergers and acquisitions, either one. But, you know, when she was young, it was sort of a joke. When she got older, I think I stood in my own way. I think I would race home after work and make such an effort to have everything be all about the kids. You know, I have my daughter and then a son, 20 months younger. And I just kept wanting to focus everything on what they were doing. And I was conscious about not bringing work home with me, not talking all the time about work. And I think I did myself and her a disservice, because the smarter thing to do would have been to go home with the same enthusiasm about work that I went to work with. And it wasn't until I realized she had never had a female pediatrician. And she would talk about my friends and say, "Oh, that's your friend from book club." And I would say, "Well, no, she's running a whole surgical department." You know, she didn't see it. And it was little comments like that as she was coming of age where I thought, okay, this is ridiculous and it's fixable. I can curb this. I can fix this. And so I wanted to get a bunch of my friends together and have almost a girls' summit where the girls could ask questions of accomplished women. And while that didn't happen, I think the website I ultimately built became almost a virtual girls' summit where I wanted to put quotes from accomplished women and resources and give other girls what I had almost failed to do with my daughter.
I understand that. As parents, as moms, I'm not negating what dads do, but as moms, one of our things is to, we work, but our children are supposed to come first, and we don't always take that time. So you started, you founded ETRA, and it means to be. Girls, who do you want to be? So it kind of started out as articles or blogs from women that you knew?
Yeah, it started out just being a set of curated resources. I had read the data that showed that girls between the ages of, say, 8 and 14, you know, their confidence can drop at almost 30%. And this was research that was done for a book called The Confidence Code for Girls, which is a tremendous book. But I was seeing it in other places too. The Women's Sports Foundation talked about the fact that by age 14, girls are dropping their sports at twice the rate of boys. Microsoft had done a similar STEM study. So I knew that middle school was sort of the age where girls were dropping things. And I thought if I could post some great resources that are maybe outside of school, maybe outside that curriculum, to keep girls close to the things they loved, that would be a start. If you love chess and all of your friends are starting to go to cheerleading, but you really want to stay with chess, let's find you some terrific resources for chess or coding or writing or anything else that was close to your heart at the time. So it started with resources, and then I got some initial quotes from just accomplished women that I knew who were talking about persistence or their first mentor or why they chose the careers they chose and why it's important, again, to stay with what's authentic to you. And it started out just as a website like that. And then I decided I would email one person every day that I didn't know and spread the word about the website. I thought, I'll just send something out to one woman I've never met and let's see what happens. And one of the women I sent an email to was Arianna Huffington, because I had been to the Thrive conference. And you could have knocked me over with a feather, but she wrote back. And she said she loved it, and she wanted me to write for Huffington Post and to do a video with the girls. And that's really when I started writing the article. And that was 2016.
You just took a shot. And to me, that's kind of what you're teaching and mentoring these young girls to do, to take that shot. You call it raise your hand, don't lower your standards. And it means the same thing. Take that shot. Ask the questions. So you started writing for Huffington Post. How did you get the girls to become aware of your website and what you were building?
It's a great question, because obviously middle and high school age girls aren't necessarily reading Huffington Post. I was writing it for a middle school audience, but I was relying on the fact that a mom or a big sister or that really cool aunt was going to see the article and pass it on. Initially, I formed a board. I had 10 girls on my board because I no longer had a middle schooler, and I knew that this wasn't going to work unless I had authentic and of-the-moment feedback from girls. So I had 10 girls, some of whom were nieces, some of whom were friends, daughters of friends of mine, and I started out sending emails saying, this is what I'm thinking, give me your feedback. Let me know what you think. Would you rather I interview an Olympic athlete, a film star, or a scientist? I can't promise I'll get the interviews, but what would you like to read about? And I just started asking general questions like that. And then social media kind of took over. And it is the beauty of social media. I know we sometimes feel like it is the bane of our existence when it comes to teens and tweens, but I will say it led to very organic growth for us, because one girl would tag another. One mom would send something to another on Facebook and say, oh, you should see this. I think your daughter would love this. One teacher would share it with another. And so girls became aware of it, I think, on social media. And that was 2016, 2017, we started after school clubs, because I was noticing that one of the girls actually said, can I bring this to my school? And then the minute she did it, a bunch more popped up. And then 2018, one of the girls in the club said, can we actually meet all the women that we're interviewing? And that's how these lunch and learns started. So it was one girl telling another, or one mom telling another.
That's how a lot of things get started, and people don't understand because it really is just by word of mouth is sometimes so much stronger than so many other things. And one of the things that you have a number of different, I don't know whether you call them chapters, be informed, be smart, be brave on your website, but one of them is be connected. So how we talk as we're older in the workforce and so on, we talk about networking. But I don't see that children at that age are truly networking. To me, it's more of a relationship. Do you see a difference? Because I know you have Etra X Lily, which I think is about building relationships.
The Lily page actually just started. That's our newest page. And that came from our book. We came out with a book on October 11th, which was Day of the Girl, which was really sort of a physical embodiment of what the website is. So the 10 pages that you referred to on the website are in fact the 10 chapters in the book. It mimics exactly. And the Be Connected chapter does talk about mentorship, and it is a kind of networking. And I'm using the term mentor loosely because as we get older, the word mentor or the word sponsor or champion takes on a different connotation in the adult workforce. But for kids, I'm saying be connected in terms of let's find a mentor. And a mentor can be anything in middle school or high school. It can be a coach or a teacher, a counselor. It's really anyone who is an expert in something that you'd like to become more accomplished in, something where you have an interest and you see someone who's just been doing it longer and they're great at it and you want to learn how to become so. So it's mentorship. When we go on these lunch and learns, it's meeting women who can take on a mentoring role, not necessarily for a lifetime, but certainly for the day or to reach back and with questions on email. And then also these girls can become mentors themselves. And they laugh when I first say it, but there's no reason in the world why a high school student can't mentor a younger student if she's great at languages or great at soccer. Or so the idea that you can seek out expertise when you need it and you can give it when it's asked for is, I think, valuable at this age.
Well, you mentioned that there are 10 chapters and we just spoke about Be Connected. I'd love to go through some of these because I think it's important and they're really something that people should know about. So be informed. I mean, women, girls, and it starts out from when we grow up and as we become women and families and so on. There's so much that we think we're not supposed to know, or if we know it, we're not supposed to tell anyone we know it. What do you have behind Be Informed?
Be Informed is you just hit it right on the head. I love your summary of that. Be Informed is a collection of sort of age-appropriate news sites and nonpartisan. You know, we go right down the middle, encouraging girls to read a wide, shelf of material, listen to a bunch of different podcasts, find a ton of different news sites, whether it's on social media, in print, on TV. Listen to all of it before making up your own mind. I think it's nice to tell girls that it is okay to find a point of view that is different from that of your parents or different from that of your favorite teacher, that news has nuance and that you should take a deep dive when you're becoming informed about something. There are articles about why it's important for girls to be informed, why it's important to become politically informed, articles and sites for girls to become more interested in politics, again, on either side of the aisle, but just to learn more about what's going on in the world, because even though you can't vote, you certainly can raise awareness and you certainly should be informed as to what's going on. So climate change, issues of the day, these are all things that are within reach for the girls. And I'm trying to find organizations and news sites that are accessible to them and that they can drop into anytime.
Just because they can't vote, to be able to get the knowledge so that when they can vote, they're doing it because of what they believe in from the collective knowledge that they have accessed throughout their young years, and be able to do it not because somebody says, oh, you should do this, you should do that. I think that's fantastic. The next one you have is Be Brave.
Right. Be Smart is in there. And be Brave. Be Smart has a ton of STEM resources and academic topics. Be Brave is really about the bravery, not just to know your own mind and make the smart choices for you, but to be brave enough to fail as well. The founder of Girls Who Code, Reshma Sajani, has a wonderful book called Brave Not Perfect. She talks a great deal about the fact that we sometimes raise our boys to be brave and our girls to be perfect. And the ability to tell girls it is okay to fail. I mean, and fail spectacularly. It is okay to have the hiccups through your entire audition song, or to score the goal in the wrong goal, or to be brave enough to raise your hand and try for things and to learn from the mistake, learn from the failure, and then try again, I think is something that should be baked in early on. And any kind of encouragement that I can find from women who talk about their failures openly and talk about how they then bounce back, those are some of my favorite stories. So, and to be brave enough to try new things. It's one thing to know what you love and pursue it, but also to be brave enough to try something completely new and see how it flies.
To get out of your comfort zone.
Yep.
Because you'll never know until you try. The next one you have is be charitable.
Yes, I love this one because I think girls get, or any kids at this age, can become very underestimated when it comes to what kind of philanthropic impact they can have. And the point here is you do not need to be responsible for raising the money. The grown-ups can raise the money, but you can raise awareness. And there are always causes that are close to your heart, and it's important to figure out what they are. Again, it doesn't need to be your mom's charity or your big sister's charity. Find something that really resonates with you, and then reach out to us. There are charity finders. There are volunteer sites. There are ways for you to get involved and make a difference. On social media, you can raise awareness for causes you love. But you are the perfect age to have an impact. And I think there are so many times where middle schoolers don't realize just how far they can reach when it comes to philanthropy.
That's very true. I'm thinking about middle school these days, where middle schoolers, they're in sixth grade and they're just little itty bitty things, and they're going in and they're surrounded by big kids, older kids. So I think it's absolutely necessary, and it's great that you offer this.
And we highlight girls that are doing that too. We highlight girls that have started food pantries and they started these things at a very young age, middle school and high school. So we're giving the girls specific examples too.
Well, one of the things that I just wrote an article about is that you do not have to be a certain age to make a change, to make a difference. And there are so many young kids out there who want to, but just don't know how. So you give them that opportunity. The next one you have is be happy. Happy, I think, is great. I mean, people don't understand what is behind a smile, how much that could just brighten up everything. And your thing is find the things that bring you joy. I'll let you go further into that.
Well, I think it is part of the same message throughout, but find the things that bring you joy and then let's do a little bit more with it. You know, the Be Happy page is, it's not just a feel-good page. It actually offers ways to springboard the things that make you happy. If you love writing, there are magazines that are publishing teen writing, something like Teen Ink or Girl Fire, and we link over to those. There are art and writing awards. There are songwriting contests. There are public service contests and competitions. There are ways to take the things you love and just blow the doors off and do more with them. And these are all geared for exactly their age. So the Be Happy page is really just encouragement to stay with what you love, and then ways where you can actually highlight it through organizations and vehicles that are made for your age.
And that is key. Things that are made for their age, that are age appropriate, that either don't look down on these young girls or it's too young for them to actually do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So let's see. The next one, be strong.
What I love about this page is that we highlight women in unusual sports as well as, you know, typical sports that the girls are playing every day. So NASCAR race drivers, MMA fighters. We have articles about the importance of staying in your cleats. Let's make that statistic from the Women's Sports Foundation less true. Let's not come off the field. Let's stay in our cleats and stay with our sports. Inclusive sports. There's something called the sparkle effect that we highlighted, which I adore, which was started by a girl in high school to bring middle school and high school cheer and dance teams together for students with and without disabilities. And the idea is when everyone cheers, everyone wins. So inclusive sports, you know, that kind of stuff. And lots of different outlets, again, where girls can find clubs and sports camps and other ways to stay up on their athlete role model. That's all on the Be Strong page.
Okay. We're up to Be Wise, be the girl who's comfortable speaking about money.
Yes. So this is Be Wise, and the S is a dollar sign. And we have such interest in this page because I think that there is a little bit of the bad manner syndrome when it comes to talking about money. I think girls either feel or are told that it's rude to talk about money, or we don't talk about that at the table. And I can't stress enough how important it is for girls at a young age to become financially literate, to become financially confident. And we've got great firms like Elevest who are providing us with resources and material. These are places that we've toured, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. We've been to the floor of the stock exchange. The interest that the girls have in the financial world is huge. And we've just gotten such generous role models giving us their time and their advice.
I love this one. Be innovative. You are not too young. Your ideas have worth and the world is listening.
It's true. It's true. This page highlights so many girls who started either companies or brought products to market or are teaching other kids, and they're doing it at the middle school and high school age. This is one of my favorite pages, and this is one actually where the company 3M got involved a little bit and shares resources with us because they have a phenomenal innovation contest called the Young Scientist Challenge every year, and it's for middle schoolers. And the finalists, the 10 finalists get a 3M mentor. The winner actually will help get their product brought and to market, and 3M will help them do it. There's so much interest in this. And if you go through the page, you'll see such interesting things that the girls have created or built. And we just keep adding to it. The idea being that that idea that you're doodling in the notebook in algebra class, the idea has worked. And there are grownups who want to help you make something of it. So let's get innovative.
Okay. And number 10 is be well read.
This is, pretty self-explanatory, I guess. We love books that are written by teens, and we love highlighting those. We love books with heroines. We love books by female authors. We highlight new releases, and then we keep a running list of classics, of rock star role models. And then right after the Be Well Read page is the page about our book, which is brand new, so that's a new page too. But our love of books, I think, we have a very similar book recommendation list at the back of our book, where we had tip a ton of female authors and young authors and books that we just think our girls love and others will too.
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking about as you're talking and all of the 10 chapters, each one just hits another part of these young girls going into teenagers, young adults, and adults, that each piece is something that is not only necessary, but is wonderful for them to have a centralized place to go. And it really hits on the various different pieces of personality. So they're in middle school. What are you doing for as they go from middle school to high school? Are people moving over?
It's interesting. I did build it for middle school, and a lot of the girls that we are highlighting initially are in middle school, but the interest in this really is growing into the high school. And when we started the after school clubs, that's really where the high school girls got deeply involved. And so in addition to founding a club for the high schoolers and for a girl who starts a club at her school, I'm writing college recommendation letters, because I can watch them take this club through their school over the years and bring something new and innovative, truly innovative, to their school. So that's a big way for the high school girls to get involved. The lunch and learns are a big hit with the high school girls because I think they see the importance of meeting women who can really guide their next steps. They're interested in where the women we meet went to college and what they studied. And then Etra Campus, as the girls grow up and start college, we'll move into that. But I'm seeing a lot of reaching back, the high school girls reaching back to the middle schoolers, wanting to mentor the younger girls. I do think that this is going to become sort of a self-sustaining vehicle, or I certainly hope anyway, where the middle schoolers can get exposed to ideas, the high schoolers can really springboard their ideas, and then in college, girls can start putting this into practice with their internships, with those first jobs. I think as a company, you know, we're only 3 years old, but I think we're going to grow up with our girls. I really do.
It certainly sounds like it. And just talk for a couple of minutes about the diversity of the girls.
It's incredibly diverse, and it's one of the things I'm happiest about. You know, from the start, I always felt that why should the girl in the privileged suburban school have any more access to a rock star role model than a girl from an underserved or an inner city school? You know, there should not be a difference when we're talking about the access. It's a huge reason why the trips are always free for the girls, and they will continue to be, and why the website itself is not anything where there's a registration fee or the clubs or anything like that. I noticed that most of the girls who are drawn to what we're doing are highly motivated and they're super curious. And that spans across every geography, every you know, wealth bracket, everything you can think of. The board has about 78 girls on it right now, and they are across the country. So we don't meet in person, but I do know from the sampling of schools that we have a wide range of geography, of racial, ethnic, you know, economic diversity. And then in terms of the trips, I try to not even have an entire group be from one school. Even within our 10 girls that were on a trip, I like to mix it up. I like the girls to meet each other on the bus. And I like the fact that they don't know who they're sitting next to. Because when they're sitting in a boardroom, they need to be able to voice their opinions and ask their questions of our host in an equally loud way. So I don't want them necessarily relying on their usual group of girls. So it's diverse in the broad board sense, but it's diverse in the room too.
Well, one of the sayings that has always been out there is, you've come a long way, baby. What you're doing with these young girls, how do you really see it going? Where do we really need to go with these girls at this stage?
You know, what I see for them, for the girls themselves, I see just unlimited potential. I see their curiosity. I see their willingness to ask really hard questions and then follow up and get a second answer if they want a more fulsome response. I think there are very few job sectors that they think are out of reach. I was just at the SpaceX launch and I was interviewing some of the astronauts and scientists that are sending research up to the space station. And I brought questions from my girls. And very few of the questions were about how do you feel in a male-dominated field. In their lifetime, they will always have had women in space. So there are very few areas where I think they think it's out of reach, but they're just dying to get there and they want to know everything about it. So I see unlimited potential for the girls on this.
Last question. What surprises you the most?
It's a great question. I underestimated the gum factor. I'll give you a short answer first. When we went to our first lunch and learn, everyone was chewing gum and I wound up holding a whole giant piece of wad of gum in my hand for the entire morning because I didn't think about that. So that surprised me. On the larger scale, I'm surprised at the openness of the companies. I truly thought that every 10 asks I made, we'd get one. And I'm pretty judicious with the ask. I only want to go to companies where the girls are interested and they use the product or they're very familiar with the brand. But no company has said no. And that continues to surprise me. Every single time I approach a company and tell them what we're doing and say, I want to bring 10 girls in, we're going to stay an hour, we want to talk to the women, nobody says no. And I don't think that will ever stop surprising me.
That's fantastic. I think what ETRA is and what you've talked about as far as its future, the young girls who have joined are on your board and you reach have benefited and the new ones that come in will definitely benefit. So what you're building, I think, is something that is quite needed and it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. If anyone's interested and they want more information about joining the board, you know, the bigger, the better with it. They can email us at info@ETRE Girls, ETRE Girls. And at EtraGirls everywhere on social media if you want to keep up with what we're doing.
That's wonderful. And your website is EtraGirls, that's EtreGirls.com. Elena, again, thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking with another extraordinary woman. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, our website, lifeofprey.com. Listen, subscribe for free, and take us with you wherever you are. This has been a Life of Prey production.